Luke chapter number 22. Thank you again for being with us today. We're glad you chose to be in the house of the Lord. I'm thankful we get to be here, aren't you? Thankful we don't have to do anything. We get to, and it's good that you chose to be obedient unto the Lord today. Luke 22, continue our journey through the crucifixion here. We'll reach today the death of Jesus, and then next week, as you can tell, we'll get to preach on the resurrection. Amen? I'm thankful I don't serve a dead Savior this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm glad He died for me, but I'm certainly glad that He didn't stay dead. Amen? And you got to understand, folks, He ain't going to stay gone either. He's coming back, and I'm thankful for that. Luke 22 this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for Your word and for Your truth. Lord, I ask You now to be with me this morning, be with my voice. Lord, Lord, we know this sinus mess is going around, but Lord, I just pray, God, that You'll just, in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off this place, Lord, and just assume not give him his way. But Lord, You'd have Your will and Your way this morning. I pray, God, everything we say and do will honor and glorify You. Lord, bless us now. Lord, cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with Your spirit this morning. Allow me to preach, Lord, like I've never preached before. And Lord, tonight as we come back, Lord, let us have something to be thankful for. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, I was going to challenge you. I forgot to mention this earlier. A few months ago, we had a Sunday night where we pretty much spent the hour just giving thanks and giving praise to the Lord. And how many know that's okay? You know, I love preaching, and I'll never, ever, ever want to lose an opportunity to preach. But here's what else I love. I know God loves it when we say thank you to Him. So tonight, I'm going to challenge you again. I'm going to give you another opportunity. If you'll just go home this afternoon, I don't want to put you on the spot tonight, but go home this afternoon, think about a testimony, a praise, something good the Lord's done for you that you can come back and share with us tonight. And when we have that opportunity, if it takes you 5 minutes, it takes us 5 minutes, we'll preach. Hey, if it takes us an hour and a half and we're in here praising the Lord, I'm going to be all right with that. Okay, so go home this afternoon. I'm challenging you. Everybody should come back tonight with something that they're thankful for. Amen? I mean, most of you can look to your right or left and say, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for them, not that, them, okay? But listen, everybody ought to have a cheerful, thankful heart, amen? All right, Luke chapter 22 this morning, verse number 47. The Bible says, and while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. I want to look at four things this morning. One out of this scripture we just read. But number one, Lord willing, if time permits, I want you to see the betrayal of Jesus by Judas. Now, we spent some time weeks ago talking about Judas and who he was. He was one of them. Judas, one of the 12 disciples, was very bold in his betrayal of the Savior. If you notice, Judas isn't like a lot of us. When we got something to say about somebody, 9 times out of 10, we're not saying it in front of them, are we? What are we going to do? We're going to go to somebody else. Y'all all right? I know this is rough for some of you, but just move your toes out of the way this morning, okay, if you don't want to get them stepped on, or stop doing it. 9 times out of 10, we're going to go to somebody else, and we're going to talk about it with somebody else. And then we're going to go to somebody else, and we're going to talk about it again and again and again, never going to the source. See, Judas was a betrayer, and we preach bad about him, and yeah, he was an awful, wicked man, but you know, at least he had some boldness. He didn't betray Jesus behind his back. He said, hey, the one that I'm going to kiss, that's the one that you need to take. Right to his face, he boldly went before. He took his offering that they gave him, and he kissed our Savior and betrayed him. That's pretty bold to betray someone in plain sight. But can I say, this is the unfortunate outcome of what sin does. See, sin will take you further than you want to go. It will leave you longer than you want to stay. And it will make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. I can't imagine how Judas was feeling about the time that his lips touched the Savior. The regret and the guilt and the shame he must have felt. Probably about the same as we feel every single time we do something that we know we should not do. The Bible does, however, teach, you know, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it what? Not to him it is what? Sin. You say, I don't feel bad about my sin. Well, let me let you in on something. If you are saved, you are going to be convicted. That's not up to you. That's up to the Holy Ghost that lives within you, who is 100% contrary and against all of your sin. You will have conviction if you are saved. Well, I don't get convicted. Well, then you're not saved. Y'all all right? I'm trying to help you this morning. If you love sin and you have no regrets of it, and you love pleasing the flesh, and you just don't feel bad about it, and you say, God, don't deal with me about my sin, well, you might not have God living within you. You better get a heart checkup this morning. But sin will make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. Can I say sin is the ultimate destroyer of relationships? Look at marriages in this country today. The average marriage lasts anywhere from 18 months to 2 years. And then divorce. Now, how many know that's not God's plan? You know, Adam and Eve, one man, one woman, one what? Lifetime, that's God's plan. Now, look, I'm not preaching against you if you've had divorce. Listen, my daddy's been divorced 4 times, maybe 5. I don't know. I'm not preaching against you, but I'm not telling you it's right. Y'all all right? I love you. God loves you. He's forgiven you. He still died for you. But listen, sin is a destroyer of relationships. Imagine being Judas and getting to physically walk with our Savior everywhere he went. I'm talking about walking and seeing the multitudes fed, walking and literally seeing Jesus talk to the lady who by faith just reached out to touch the hem of his garment, and he said, who touched me? Can I say he knew who touched him? Hey, he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Judas got to witness firsthand what we only get to preach about. And we still are amazed, but imagine how much more amazed Judas would have been. And because of sin, because of his lust, not for ladies, but his lust for money. Y'all listening? His lust for money. He betrayed the Savior. And can I tell you this morning? The Bible teaches something about that. The Bible says the love of money is what? The root. You know, we talk about root problems. The national, international, world problem right now is all revolved around what? Money. People are taking each other's lives because of why? Money. Can I tell you something? When you die, sir, your money ain't going with you. I promise you, your wife ain't going to bury your money in the casket with you. You understand what I'm saying? What's going to happen is your kids are going to fight over it. Family's going to be split up because of it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's family members out here today that won't speak to each other. Why? Because daddy and mama died and they left a whole bunch of what? Money, and everybody wants it. Why would you risk your family over money? Why did Judas risk his relationship with the Savior over, in our day, about $400? Judas risked it all because he was in love with carnal things. Folks, I wonder this morning how many of us in the church are in love with carnality. We rely on everything that we are capable of doing. Can I take you back to a little story about two boys named Cain and Abel? You remember those boys? You know, Cain was a tiller of the ground, a hard-working man, no doubt probably the best gardener around. Probably grew a beautiful garden. But you know what he did? He took everything that he was capable of doing with his own two hands and all his strength. He said, you know what? God's going to be pretty proud of me for what I've done. Oh, but Abel, He said, no, but for the blood. Hey, this morning, can I tell you something? But for the blood, you're in trouble. You are destined to a devil's hell if you're trying to get to heaven in and of yourself. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none good, no, not one. Not by works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is by faith, or by grace through faith alone. Nothing in and of yourself is good enough. Listen, if it was good enough and you could make it on your own, why did Jesus die? Why? It would have all been in vain. But sin is the ultimate destroyer of relationships. Judas betrayed the Savior of the world over just a few dollars. His lust and love of money ultimately cost him his own life. The end of Judas was him hanging himself in regret and guilt over what he had done. I wonder how many of us here this morning are in a dangerous spot in life, just as Judas was, playing the part, looking the look, walking the walk, talking the talk. See, everywhere he went, everyone knew, hey, you're one of the 12. They thought he was all right. You know, listen, if Judas died and went to hell, which I 100% believe he did, the Bible teaches that Satan entered into him. Now listen, if Judas died and went to hell and walked physically 3.5 years and sat in a church service with the greatest preacher that's ever preached this book, then you can die and go to hell sitting in this building listening to probably one of the worst preachers that's ever made an effort to preach God's word. Are you hearing me? I'm just telling you, where you're sitting is not your ticket to heaven. I don't care what grandma and grandpa told you. I don't care what you believe. Where you're sitting is not your ticket to heaven. That baptistry, that's not your ticket to heaven. Your ticket to heaven is believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. That is your ticket. Judas was talking the talk. Maybe like you, you're looking the look, walking the walk, talking the talk, but in your heart, it's just blackness and darkness, and Satan has lied to you. Well, can I say there's good news for the betrayer this morning? The good news is that Jesus Christ died for each and every one of you. Judas cannot take back or change what he done, but if you are sitting here today, no matter what you have done, I want you to understand that your sin has been paid for. What a song this morning. They didn't know what I was preaching. Your sin has been paid for. You see, that's how you know the Lord's working here. I didn't call them and say, hey, can you sing this song? What are the odds of that? You know what God did? He put that song in their heart. He put this message on my heart to give to you guys this morning. Your sin has been paid in full. All of it. Jesus Christ laid down His life for every single one of us that have betrayed Him in life and have loved sin more than we loved our Savior. There's never been a greater love than the love of God. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends, the Bible says in John 15:13. But number two, not only do we see the betrayer of Jesus by Judas, skip down to verse number 57. Actually, let's start in verse 56. We see the denial of Jesus by Peter. Here, another one of his 12, was it not? Another one of the 12. No, Peter didn't die and go to hell. No, he didn't betray him, but he denied him. I don't know what's worse, to know Jesus and say you don't, or to not know him and just absolutely betray him. What's worse? The denial of Jesus by Peter. Verse 56, the Bible says, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him, talking about Peter, saying he was with Jesus. And he, what did he do? Denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And here's a good example of eternal security here. I believe with all my heart Peter died and went to heaven. His testimony proves it. He was saved. But look, I get asked the question all the time, well, what if I get saved and I just decide I don't want to be saved anymore? What did Peter do? He said, I don't know him. Can I say he still knows you? If you're saved. And you better be thankful that he still knows you. regardless of how you feel in your heart. He said, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. That was the second time. Remember, Jesus told him, you're going to deny me thrice. Verse 59, and about the space of 1 hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Verse 60, we see prophecy fulfilled. You know, Jesus prophesied that Peter was going to deny him three times, did he not? The third and final denial of Peter. What a sad day it must have been for Jesus to know that not only would one of his disciples betray him, as if it was not bad enough, another, one of his closest disciples, Peter would deny him not once, not twice, but three times would deny him in one day. One day. In verse 61, I can only imagine the look on the Lord's face as he turned and looked into the eyes of Peter after he had been denied. Could you imagine being Peter at this moment? Thinking back just a few hours before when Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? He said, I love you. He said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. I could think about Peter saying, not me. I'm not going to do that. And man, when he denied him the third time, the cock crew, and through the crowd, he meets eyes with Jesus. Could you imagine the look on Jesus' face? More than that, could you imagine the look on Peter's face and how he must have felt? I'd say, if we'd be honest, many of us have felt like that. There's been times where we've denied Christ. Maybe not quite as far as said, I don't know him, but how many times has the Holy Spirit prompted you to do something and tell someone about Jesus and you're like, ugh. You know what you're doing? You're denying him. You're quenching the Holy Spirit. You're ashamed of him. Folks, the anguish and the heartbreak that Jesus must have felt on his way to a cruel cross to die for the sins of the world. Can you imagine? How many has ever been hurt by somebody that loves you? Or somebody you love. Let's say it like that. Somebody you love just absolutely said something, did something that, I mean, tore you up. Raise your hands. Tore you up. I'm talking about make you feel about that big. You love that person with all your heart. You'd do anything for them. Just like Jesus, you'd give your life for that person and all they did was deny you. All they did was hurt you. All they did was deny everything that they had just seen and experienced. All they did was the same one that allowed him to walk on water. I don't know him. You can only picture our Savior making eye contact with Peter as he's moving through the crowd on the way to Golgotha. On the way to Calvary, thinking in his mind, and listen, now you realize Jesus was still just as 100% man here, right? You think for a second the devil wasn't sending him bad thoughts here? See, even those whom you love don't care about you. I told you they'd deny you. How many times have we made Jesus feel like that? You know, after all, we are his sons and daughters. Y'all all right with that? We're his wife. We're the bride of Christ. How many times have we cheated on God and made him just feel anguish and heartbreak? How many times have you broken the heart of your Savior? Verse 62, we see Peter wept bitterly. I believe that word wept defines his repentance. Because as you know, see, Peter, unlike Judas, Peter did not go out and take his own life after this. Peter repented. He turned around. He became a great preacher. He won many, 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 many souls to Christ. Do you know what I'm talking about? Peter didn't live in his self-pity there. He could have had a pity party right there and said, you know what? God told me I'd deny him three times. I did it. I guess I'm never going to be used of God again. Hey, it's time that we stop having that mentality. Don't be a quitter. Finish well. I do believe Peter, as he wept, was truly repentant and sorry for what he had done. I think he proved this in his later ministry. As he pressed on, even after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, Peter made a real statement and difference for the cause of Christ. And can I say this morning, just like Peter, here it is. You know what I like? With every bad news in the Bible, there's always good news. You know that? But just like Peter, you could weep bitterly. You could repent and turn from your sin and change the way you are living and make a difference in this world for Jesus Christ. You know, what better thing could Peter have done than to turn from his wicked way and just honor and lift up and encourage and magnify and build the kingdom of the one he had just denied? What better thing could Peter have done? Nothing. He said, you know what? I denied him three times. And from this day forward, I'm going to commit the rest of my life to lifting that man up. And by the way, he was lifted up. Right? And from this day forward, my life's going to honor him. I denied him three times, but I'm not going to deny him anymore. Hey, that's what we need, guys. Ladies, that's what we need. Some mamas and some daddies who will pray and will say, you know what? I've denied him enough. I've disappointed my Savior enough. I've broken his heart enough. From this day forward, I just want to honor and glorify and magnify Jesus. I want to make him look good. Folks, it's not too late. Whether you're one or 100, you still got breath in those lungs that God granted you. You can bring joy to the kingdom of heaven. You can. God wants to use you. But here's the question. Are you willing to be used of the Savior? Look at Matthew chapter 16. In verse 24 through 26. The Bible says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall what? Lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited? Catch this now. If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own what? Hey, what is your soul made up of? It's a three-part. Remember, it's your mind, your emotion, and your will. You can go out there and you can cherish the world and you can gain everything here and lose your stinking mind doing it. Lose your some of the most miserable people on the planet. Why do you think the rate of suicide, attempted suicide, drug overdose, drug abuse, alcoholism amongst professional athletes is so high? Because they've chased this. And they realize in the end, they can never have enough of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Those who are happy, now I'm not saying you can't be happy and have a lot of money, but I'm going to tell you something. If you got a lot of money and you're selfish, you ain't happy. Because God loveth a cheerful giver. God did not make you rich for you. He made you rich to further his kingdom. So listen, why is it that they do that? You know, you hear people say, if I just had this and this and this and this. No, 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 no. You can have all of that and lose everything. Thank you, Kelly. Appreciate it, buddy. You can have all of that and lose everything. You ever met somebody that has a lot of stuff, but they're just an emotional wreck? They're not in church. They're cranky. They're bitter, rotten, miserable to be around. No, you say, well, no wonder no one ever comes to see me. Well, I wonder why. you don't need anybody. It's time we get over that mentality and realize, one, we do need each other. Y'all know that? I appreciate the moments I get to spend with people in the church, just hearing, just conversating and hearing people testify and praying and opening the Bible and studying the Bible with each other. I like that. And I like seeing people come in and smile and be encouraged. I like to see that though we have 5, 6, 7 families out today, there's still a good bit of many people here. I like to see that God's still at work. That's what I like to see. I encourage you to understand that you can gain everything on this earth and die and go to hell. You are not going to write a check to God on judgment day and say, "Let me in." They sang about it. Your sins have already been paid for. The check's already been written. And it didn't bounce. And it won't return void. Y'all all right? Hey, you better realize this ain't about what you're capable of doing. It's about what He has already done. It's time we stop denying our Savior. Number three, back in Luke 22. Look in verse number 63. I want you to see the cruel treatment of Jesus by the people. We saw the betrayal. We saw the denial. But let's look at the cruel treatment of Jesus by the people. Verse 63 in chapter 22 of Luke says, "And the men that held Jesus," what'd they do? "And smote Him." They hit Him. "And when they had blindfolded Him," this is terrible, "they struck Him on the face and asked Him, saying, 'Prophesy, who is it that smote thee?'" They're making a game of this. "And many other things blasphemously spake they against Him." Verse number 63, 64, and 65 give us an example of just how cruel these people were to Jesus. But let's not overlook the cruelty of these people. "For it was not only their sin, but our sin that Jesus had to die for." Did you guys know that? Imagine in verse 63 being held for no reason. And can I say, He was held for no reason. No reason at all. For no reason, and being mocked and smote by men for absolutely nothing. And more than that, imagine being blindfolded and being struck in the face multiple times, all because you are exactly who you say you are. Jesus was indeed the Savior. He was the King of the Jews. Jesus was everything and more that He had claimed to be. Amen? He wasn't lying. He wasn't making it up. He wasn't being blasphemous. He wasn't trying to say that He was someone that He was not. He indeed was the one and only true living God, came and lived and dwelt among men just to die for the sins of all mankind. That is who Jesus Christ was and is today. They literally made a game of it in verse 64, blindfolding Him and hitting Him over and over, asking Him, "Who was it? Who was it that hit you? If you're really God, tell us which one of us that hit you. Tell us, what's my name?" Boom! "Who was that, Jesus?" Can you imagine? How cruel is that? And you think, those are some cruel people. Yeah. And every single time you choose to sin, you're just as cruel as they were. Every time you choose to do wrong, every time you choose to go against the Bible, you are just a mocker. You're just a scorner. You're just joining the people who spit on your Savior. You're just joining the soldiers who beat Him. You're joining the ones who pushed a crown of thorns into the brow of His head. You're joining the ones who cursed Him and mocked Him and said, "Crucify Him!" That's who you are this morning. It's time we realize who we are and realize just in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's time we realize that we are absolutely nothing without Him. Nothing. Jesus did not deserve any of this. It amazes me, as He was dying, His words were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We see this in Luke 23:34. The Bible says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. If it wasn't enough to mock him and spit on him and beat him and curse him, now they're taking his clothes off. You just got to imagine the scene. And by the way, your mind will never paint the picture that happened that day. The movies will never be able to paint the picture. I'm not against the movies. I mean, good job, Mel, for trying. He tried. And it was pretty gruesome in the movie. But nothing like what really happened. Nothing has ever happened and nothing will ever happen again to the severity of what Jesus had to go through for your sin and mine. But lastly, I want you to look at one other character in the story. Go over to Luke chapter 23 and verse number 39. This is a good character in this story. We saw the betrayal, we saw the denial, and we saw the cruel treatment of our Savior. But today, I want you to focus on this character right here. In the story I would like to see in the death of Jesus found in Luke 23, I want you to see the thief. Verse 39, the Bible says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear, capital G, God? Y'all seeing what's going on here? This man right here is under conviction on the cross. Y'all paying attention to this? And Jesus is dying hour, he started the saving business. Y'all paying attention? I believe this right here was the first man that ever was saved by the blood. Y'all all right? Everybody else, you know, prior to this, died, went to a place, we talk about Abraham's bosom, and yeah, they'll all be in heaven one day, but this right here just might have been the first blood-bought believer. Pay attention to this. Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, come off that cross and let me baptize you, if you can be with me in paradise. Hey! He didn't say that. He said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You know what the thief did? He simply believed, is all he did. He believed and he received. He believed and he received. I don't see no river. I don't see no baptism. I don't see no church service. Y'all listening? I don't see no Sunday school teacher. I don't see no check being written to a tithe. I don't see none of that stuff that we believe can get us there. All I see is simple belief on the Lord Jesus Christ. And today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He took a trip with Jesus all the way to heaven. Folks, that's pretty miraculous, isn't it? A thief on the cross, dying for his sin. Yet next to him was the one really dying for the thief's sin. What a story. The simple belief of just an ordinary thief caused him to be with Jesus in paradise that day. Miss Barb's going to come to the piano, and she's going to play a hymn of invitation. I want you to think this morning, church. Maybe you're one of these in the story. Maybe you've fallen into the category of all of these at some point in time. In Luke 23:46, we see Jesus gave up the ghost. Can I tell you something? They did not kill Jesus. Jesus gave up the ghost. He gave up his life willingly. Amen? He willingly did it. She's going to start playing. I want you to think about your life this morning. Jesus gave up the ghost. This is a clear picture of love. A picture that has never been painted again. A picture that will never be painted again, and a picture that is for every single man, woman, boy, and girl who chooses to believe on Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful. The story doesn't stop here, though. Folks, I'm encouraging you next week to come back and listen to the story about a resurrected Savior. Listen, we don't serve a dead Savior. We don't have a dead faith. He's alive and so am I. Brought forth from the grave. Listen, next week I'm challenging you. If you know someone that's lost, get them to church next week by all means. I don't care if you got to pay their gas money to get here. Go pick them up. Get them here. How important is their soul to you? How important is their soul to you? Heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. I wonder how many of you this morning. And listen, this altar's open. The live stream's off. I wonder how many of you this morning as she's playing would say, Brother Drew, you talk about Judas, the betrayer of Jesus. Brother Drew, I don't want to betray Jesus. I wonder if there's someone in here that would say, Brother Drew, that's me.